Hello, old friend. Have you changed your hair? Well, it suits you, whatever you've done with it. Now come on in, you. Come indoors. I've got the kettle on ready. Ooh, it is nippy, isn't it? There you go. Nice hot drink to warm your cockles. Biscuit? Yeah, go on. Have two. Make a sandwich. I can't resist a hobnob, me. Best thing about living alone is you get to eat a whole packet of biscuits to yourself. Well, old Judgy Paws McGraw over there gives me a few looks. You can't have one, Catrick. They're as big as your head. You've not got enough saliva in your body to handle it, Butes. I keep telling her, it could kill her. She'd be chewing for a month. Now settle down, Petal, while we have a chat. I've got some treats for you later, yeah. I had a good chinwag with an old friend this week, Bex. Bex Lindsay. She's a radio presenter on Fun Kids Radio. And she's just released a lovely podcast called Getting Emotional. It's all about the obscure emotions that you may have felt, but had no idea there was a name for. Like Medita or Prescaview. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, to be honest. I once embarrassingly announced that I was a big fan of Francis Bacon, only for the room to, you know, break into hysterics and have people explain to me that his name was just Bacon. Francis Bacon. It was awful. Anyway, the reason I mention it is Prescaview is the sensation of being on the verge of an epiphany, which perfectly describes how I felt when chatting to Bex. And then boom, I realised that long ago, she shared a favourite scent and memory with me when she last visited the olfactory. So I immediately had to dig it out and share it with you. And speaking of getting emotional, I have to warn you that if you've recently, or even not so recently, lost someone that you love, this one might hit home for you. But I hope in a good way. Like it'll be a nice warm hug. The scent that Bex chose to bottle is a splash of her mum's perfume, Narciso Rodriguez. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly either, to be honest. Bacon. Here. Have a whiff of this.
Oh! That is strong. It's kind of spicy and musty. It's not a light floral arrangement that you'd be like, oh, it smells like roses on a summer's day. This smells like heavy, like you're in a cottage. Like you've come in out of the cold, but it's like a warm fire is ready for you with a hot toddy. Immediately, it smells to me like my mum's brown jumpers. Like, I feel really happy and I feel really warm. To me, it feels like a hug. Yeah, it feels like my mum is wafting down the stairs and she's about to tell me off for doing something or give me some chocolate. So when we were, like, cleaning out her bedroom and stuff, I found this perfume, and it hadn't occurred to me that my mum had a smell. The idea that my mum had a signature scent just totally eluded me. I was like, ah, it's just my mum's natural odour, not realising she was paying good money for it. And I found it, and I gave it a sniff, and I was like, yeah, that's mum's smell. And it's such a weird thing, because it wasn't something I'd thought about, But then I was like, oh my God, I can't believe how close I was to losing it. Because I didn't realise how important it was. Until I found it again. And I was so grateful because I was like, it feels like a little connection. More than pictures in a way. Everybody had a story about Elsa Lindsay. When I was younger, she was well known in the family. She was very loud. She would complain at people. She would tell people off. You know, you knew where you stand with her. Incredibly loving mother. Like, I could never do anything wrong. She would have done anything for me. She would have driven down the motorway 3 o'clock in the morning, dropping off at McDonald's if I had called her to do that. You know what I mean? She would have done anything I needed or wanted. Interestingly, the older I got, the more mellow she got anyway. And so my friends from school and university were all like, oh my God, Bex, your mum is so cool. She's so chilled out. She doesn't get angry. Like, she would get my friends drunk when they came to visit. Everybody knew my mum because she'd just ply them with wine and food. Like, you know, if you came to a house, you'd be like, what a lovely, warm host, you know. She was very, very fun. But I think if you knew her when she was a bit younger, you'd be like, what an absolute firebrand. She was also ridiculous. She made me an advent calendar and she was so proud. She was like, Bex, this December I thought I'd make you your very own advent calendar. And I was like, oh, that's great, mum, thanks so much. And then we looked inside it and she, all of the chocolates inside it were filled with nuts and I am like deathly allergic to nuts. I was like, cool, it's a bit like Russian roulette, mum, but thanks, I guess. When you're a bit more grown up, you kind of realise how much your parents have done for you. And it was only when I got a bit older I realised how great she was. So she died in my 20s, which is, it's a weird one because you're like old enough to be able to fend for yourself and think, well, I'm an adult, I should be able to deal with this. But I think in your 20s, you're still too young to fully appreciate everything. So I'd had cancer, I'd had thyroid cancer. In February and March, I had my operations to take out my thyroid. So I was dealing with cancer all this time. And everyone's like, oh, in cancer terms, you've got like the easiest one. It's like, you know, you're going to be fine. It's super easy to deal with. And I was like, cool. It does seem weird describing cancer as easy, but okay, I'll take it. And then in the August, mum seemed a little bit out of sorts, I guess, just a bit knackered. In the September, October time, she just became a lot more weary and she was in pain. She found her breathing quite restricted and she went to the doctor and she had like a lump on her head. And they said, oh no, the lump is just like a kind of natural thing that's happened to you. And they said, the breathing is because of your anxiety, because of your daughter. You're stressed out about your daughter being ill. So that's just your anxiety of not being able to breathe. She got ill and then in the October they were like, oh, we'll do some scans, and they found out she had lung cancer. They said to us, look, you're probably going to have about a year left. Then she died 2 weeks later. So we'd been planning all of these things for us to do in that year, and also I'd just gone through the cancer thing myself, so she'd been so focused on me. She hadn't really considered her own illness, I guess. And nobody took it seriously. Let's face it, you don't think two people in the same family, in a three-person family, two of the three people are going to have cancer at the same time. The day that she died, I was having my checkup to see how my cancer stuff was going. And all she was bothered about was me. She was like, you'll be okay tomorrow. Like, I hope you're okay tomorrow. Let me know how it goes. Pretty much the day that she died was the day I found out my cancer had gone. But all she cared about was that I was okay. And when she died, she said something like, oh, 26. Is that okay? Did I do enough for you? And I was like, of course you did, oh my God. But she was like, did I make it long enough? Did I make it far enough for you? I think for her, the idea that she was leaving me when I needed her the most. I think that was probably hardest for her because she was, you know, she wanted to do as much as she possibly could for me. She definitely knew she was kind of coming to the end of her life because we had this big conversation. And it's weird because you're at this point with someone where you're like, we know that you're going to die. And you kind of think to yourself, what do I have to ask her? What do I need to know? What do I need to get from her right now? Because this might be the last conversation I have with her. Everything you say to that person is loaded. So I was like, what's your advice? Thinking, you know, like, I need advice now when I'm 26, the next however many years, like decades of years worth of advice I need from my mum. All of these things that you have to get in a 10-minute conversation at the side of a hospital bed. And she said to keep smiling, be yourself. I always think of myself as quite an optimist, but she didn't think I was. And she was like, be positive, like always kind of, you know, think on the plus side. But I remember hearing the news on the radio the day my mum died and being amazed that they hadn't mentioned it. I was like, what? But Elsa Lindsay's died. Are we not talking about this? Because, first of all, it's a big deal. Well, yeah, it's a big deal in your world. And you're like, you know, the news is generally the most important things happening in the world right now. And that death to me was the most important thing happening in the world right now. So the fact that it wasn't being covered by BBC Worldwide, I was astounded by. It took me a second to be like, it's because she was my mum. She wasn't the world's mum. Like, that makes sense. This bottle in particular, because it was hers, I don't use it very often. But I find it quite calming. I find it makes me feel closer to her. It makes me really happy. It doesn't make me sad. Because there is so much lovely stuff to remember about her. It makes me so much more like warm and fuzzy inside. It makes me feel strong. Like because I've got my mum's strength. And it reminds me of like being more fiery. Being positive, as she told me to be. It just reminds me of all of the best bits of our relationship. And it's such a shame she wasn't around longer to see who I am and where I am now. But this, smelling this, reminds me a little part of her will always be with me anyway. You know what? I probably should tell my dad I have this as well.
Beautiful. I love the fact that that perfume holds such special memories for Bex of her mum, and happy ones too. Elsa Lindsay sounded like a wonderfully warm, funny woman. I don't know about you, but that story brought up a lot of different emotions for me. And even though I never had the chance to meet Elsa, I felt like parts of her personality danced in every note of that perfume. And it made me smile. Bex's very own genie in a bottle. It also made me think about my own dad. And that made me smile too. It will have been 21 years since he died this week. 21 years. And with each year that passes, it gets a little harder to remember all those tiny little intricacies that made him who he was. He's been gone from my life longer than I ever knew him. But just like Bex, I feel like he's still with me in some way. More often than not, it's when I look in the mirror and realise I inherited his ears. But even without that signature scent to conjure him, somewhere deep inside me lives on the memory of him and how I felt and how his arm smelt as it gripped tightly around me as we sat on the sofa and listened to his LPs on a Sunday afternoon, and the hairs on his arm would tickle my nose. And I know I'll never encounter that smell, or him, again, but somehow it's in my bones. And just like Bex, I carry a part of him with me every day. Whew, we've put ourselves through the ringer a bit this week, haven't we? I hope that didn't feel too heavy for you, because I do think it's important to share these sort of conversations. And if the loss of a loved one is something you've experienced, whether recently or not, then in lieu of me being able to grip you tightly, as I said, I hope this was a warm hug for your ears. And you'll come back and see us again next week, won't you? I'll save you some biscuits, I promise. Not this pack, though, they're nearly gone. Have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you, because I'd love to hear it. Tell your friends and tell your family too. Send me a message at theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me, and Katrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. And if you'd like to help me keep the factory doors open, I'd love it if you could leave me a rating and review. As you know, there's plenty of bottles on the shelves yet, all waiting to uncork your imagination. And I'm really enjoying sharing the olfactory with you. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later.